Hey, I'm Sean Hammond with PremierGuitar.com. I'm with Tyler Sweet doing a rig rundown of Brian Setzer's gear. How's it going, man?
Good. I'm doing great today.
Good. So we're starting with the guitars. And why don't you tell us what we've got here?
We have a 1959 Gretsch 6120. This is Brian's original guitar that he played in the Stray Cats. It was basically in all the videos, and he's had it for a long time. He bought it when he was, just a young kid. And he's broken it back out again in the last year, and sounding great, and just totally digging it.
Now, it looks like, has he made some cosmetic changes, like different stickers and different dice on the knobs and stuff?
Yeah, over the years, he's changed a couple things here and there. I believe, I'm not really positive, but I think it had originally had a black cat on it at one point in time, too. This is the baby. This is his pride and joy.
So what's the, care regimen for this guitar every day? Does it get special treatment after each show, or things you have to do with it because it's older, or?
No, I mean, you just take care and maintain it just like it would any other guitar, and change the strings every couple of shows, because Brian has such a nice light touch that he likes worn in strings more, for that sound and tone. But, it's basically gets the same treatment as everybody else, and fret dressing every month, or when needed, basically. And
You said he's pretty particular about the strings and so forth. What brand and gauge is he using right now?
We're using a D'Addario 10 through 46, Brian, he, in terms of he likes the older sound of, rather than the new string sound, he would rather have me leave these on here for a month.
Have a little slime on it.
I don't do that. Yeah. I do them every two shows just in case, just so I don't have to, come up on the deck here if I don't have to, it's a good thing.
Can we get a closer look at the saddles there? I'm wondering, are those the stock saddles for his signature model? Or do you do anything special with these saddles?
No, there's basically these guitars were set up by TV Jones when Brian brought them out, and he does most of the work for it. So it's basically my maintenance on the road and stuff. But of course that's not original.
Yeah.
A lot of things. The zero fret is gone, of course, and the saddles are, they used to be rollers. So
now these are TV classics in here.
They are, yep.
They look pretty old.
Yeah.
They're all rusty. And
yeah. Each changed them out and done work. I think they have the old covers on them, but I'm pretty sure that they were changed to TV's pickups. But they actually, who knows, they might be the originals. That screw's there because Brian broke this guitar in Japan a long time ago. He went to throw it to the tech at the time and stepped on the cable, and it came a little bit up short, and then decided to toss the neck into the audience. And one of our other techs, Bobby Gilkin, ended up...
Did he have to dive into the crowd to get it back?
Went out there, and the kid was very nervous and, shaking and oh, my God, what do I have in my hands? And but he got it back from him, gave him a bunch of, T-shirts and pins and that type of stuff, and he gave it back to us. So,
do you know who fixed that? Did it go to the Gretsch Custom Shop? Or
I think TV Jones did it. Brian has been dealing with TV for a long time, and... has great trust in him to do a lot of the work for him. So
you can see the crack right there, right?
Yeah.
And is this a screw that wouldn't normally be there, or that would normally be filled in with a little cap or something? Or
I don't think it definitely wasn't originally there. No, it was put it back together again, type deal.
Does he feel like it has changed how it plays or sounds at all since that happened?
He did for the longest time. He had it in storage at his house, and just like I said, last year he broke it out again, and I was like, wow, this guitar sounds great again, and I'm going to use this. So he brought it out this last summer on the European tour we did this summer, and it's been, it stays in tune nice. So
cool. Now this is the one that they had like they did an MRI on it or something to look at the bracing so that they could do that sort of bracing in his signature models. Is that correct?
Yes. This is the one, and we have another one that is similar to this, mm-hmm. that I just think is the actual one that they did it to. I don't think it was this one because this was would have been at the house. They wouldn't have he probably wouldn't have sent it anywhere to do that, but they probably used the real number one, which I'll show you in a minute too.
Yeah. I know in some of the, like in the interview he did with us in our May issue and in others, he's mentioned how the actual 59s are, and the vintage ones are really hard to keep playing and performing well, whereas his off-the-shelf guitars, his signature models are just good to go and sound just as good. Is he using this very much each night? Or?
Yeah, he uses this every single night now.
That's his main guitar, or
as that. Well, there's like this particular show is broken into two parts. Mm-hmm. So he starts the show with one guitar, plays that for like 8 to 10 songs, and then he breaks this out for the rest of the show, all the way to the end through the encores and stuff, you know. Okay. And when I get a chance, I'll grab it and tune it, you know, coming off for an encore or something like that. But he likes it and likes to get it back, so that's what I do for him.
Okay, cool. Let's see what else is in the boat.
We have a 2010 Gretsch Hot Rod model with custom paint, green speckle, which is kind of the colors of our tour, as you can be able to tell by my shirt here, trying to kind of matching, and some of the backdrops that we have too, actually, you know, are built around this color pretty much. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like just a theme for the tour.
So this is basically a stock hot rod model just with custom paint.
Yep, exactly. And it's you know, set up by we got two of them from Gretsch, and this is what he uses to you know, for the first part of the show. And he's really digging on it. It's breaking in really nice and stays in tune quite well.
Cool. Now, and on all of these Gretsches, the standard sort of 6120 style hollow bodies, he's using the TV Classics. Mm-hmm. And because I know on like some of his, like his TV Jones, the baritone guitar, or the what's it called, the C baritone or something like that, mm-hmm. C melody baritone. Yep. I think he uses other TV Jones pickups in that. Is that correct?
Yes, he does. Yeah, and we don't have any of those guitars out here right now with us. Any of the baritone stuff, just basically the 59s and hot rods are what we're using on this tour.
So is this another 59?
Yes, this is the other 59 that, so, you know, I've been with Brian 5 years now, and this was the main guitar for, you know, the first 4.5, and until he broke the Stray Cat guitar out. But this is pretty much the same thing. It's gone through some hard times. It's been stolen twice, and we got it back both times, which is, you know, remarkable.
I was going to say, but no broken neck, but actually, it looks like right there, it did it have a break?
Yeah, at one point in time, it might have got some type of crack or something, but... Oops, sorry. And there's your bolt there, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that Brian doesn't usually use the, what some people call a mud switch on here. Has he had those disconnected, or does he just avoid hitting it? Or
no, this one, it's still connected. It's a tone master and you know, a pickup selector, basically master, is what they run. And it's he has different configurations that he uses, but no, mainly it's pickups. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I look, sorry, I'm geeking out here, but when I look at the bridge here and the string pull on there, there's not a big break angle. Is that a problem with tuning at all, or?
No, this guitar stays in tune. We have on back of all these bridges, we mount double-sided tape, mm-hmm. so I'm able to move them around wherever I want to move them, and that's where it intonates good. That's where it goes.
Okay, so both the original 59s have taped bridges, but the signature models are pinned, right?
No, the signature models, I've pulled the pins out of those.
Oh, really?
Of the green guitars, excuse me, of the newer two green guitars that I have, and I just double side stick tape everything, so it's just much easier to deal with.
Is that something you suggested, or did Brian request that, or?
No, I mean, it's a trick of the trade, but you know, there's, you know, a lot of people do it, so I mean, I knew about it, and I figured that it would be a cool thing to do here too. And you know, he had a couple guitars, a TV, of course, already had set up like that too, so I was like, oh, he's using it. So
I guess having the bridges pinned like on his signature models isn't, was that his idea or just the factories? Do you know?
I don't really know. It's probably like a factory thing that's, you know, how they do stuff. But I mean, if it works, and it's just a question of the guitar, how the guitar is going to break in. And with any new guitar, especially using Bigsby's, they're going to take time to break in. You got to play them and play them and play them until they get their, you know, their spots, you know?
So you, if I'm understanding you correctly, you felt like with the bridge pinned, as you maybe went through different humidity levels and different areas, that it was changing the intonation, and you needed to have the flexibility to move it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. That happens all the time. You know, to be able to, you know, lengthen or shorten the field in different situations, it just makes it much easier. You know, with the pins there, you can't do that. So, you know, sometimes you don't get as much, you know, shortening of the field, pulling sharp and that type of stuff. But yeah, they're very, very temperamental.
Okay, Tyler, so we've got another green hot rod here with basically just different finish.
Yeah, it's the paint has a little bit bigger of a speckle in it. And, you know, it was originally, I'm not sure if, you know, they were shooting for different ones or so, something was mixed a little bit wrong or something. I don't really know what the deal is with it, but we ended up getting two, so.
Cool. Well, I'll take it if you guys aren't in. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Now, actually.
Now, did you say Brian is not playing this one very much?
He is and he isn't. You know, he likes, once he gets a feel of one, you know, because they feel a little bit different, you know, and with him having such a light touch, he can feel so much in guitars, like not like the average person would be able to feel, you know. Like if I was to play this, I could feel it a little bit, but not like the way he can. He knows what he likes, and he definitely likes the other one better right now. But, you know, that can change, and I'm sure we'll get good use out of it.
Now, speaking of the light touch, as I look at it, it looks like he likes pretty low action, huh?
He does, yes. You know, we don't get too much string buzz. I try to set it right where it's going to be happening for him, and he'll let me know if he thinks something's a little bit too low or a little bit too high. He's like, you know, Ty, move that a little bit for me. So,
as you come to a new town each night, how much time do you have to spend with the guitars?
I usually get a couple hours each day. But, you know, as I said, I change strings every other day or so, or even sometimes 2 or 3 days, because he likes to have the, you know, older dead strings on there. It's probably because the amp volume is so loud and just, you know, it's killing it, basically. Okay. So.
Okay, Tyler, so next up we've got Brian's famous basement amps, which are the 6G6B circuit, which is a pretty rare one, right?
It is. We carry about 4 of them with us. We have a couple in the warehouse too, if we need to ship them out to do any TV or, you know, quick appearance type things. But they range from, I believe, 1961 to 63 era, and of course they're all brown face and all 6G6Bs, and credible amp. You know, everybody's in search of them these days.
Yeah, and the reason, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the big reasons why he likes it is because they have a solid-state rectifier?
They do, yeah. Yep. And it's some of the older tubes that he found back in the 80s. There was a company that was going out of business that had a big stock of AMS tubes, so he just purchased all of them. So that's basically what we run, is, and nobody else can really get that tone from those tubes because no one else has them. So,
okay, so what was that? What was the brand again?
It's AMS. I think that's part of the secret too. That is, makes it really.
I haven't heard that before. That's cool. Yeah. Were they preamp tubes and power tubes?
Yep, preamp and power tubes. And, you know, I believe when he originally bought them, it was like, you know, 150 premu tubes, and you know, probably about 60 sets of matched, you know, output tubes. So,
wow. And he's still running off the ones he bought in the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was the late 80s he found them or something. I forget the story. Someone told me. You know, I've only been here 5 years, and some of the guys have been here 20 years. So,
but these,
so I'm kind of the new guy, you know.
But these still have AMS tubes in them.
They do, yes. And of course, I have, you know, my bias probes and my tube testers and all that stuff. So I constantly keep up to date of... you know, keeping a records book of when I'm changing them, and I'm a firm believer of 60 hours for your output tubes and about 200 on the pre-tubes. So,
how often do you have to check those out?
Usually it's by tone, but I do keep track pretty well of how many shows we're doing and the time limit and stuff of the shows. And so, you know, every two tours or something, I'll really, if they're, you know, they're month-long tours or something like that, I'll actually take them out and, you know, do a lot of the electric socket cleaning, get some of the carbon out of there and that type of stuff too. So I try to keep that really clean also.
What do you think he's going to do when he runs out of those AMS tubes?
I don't know. That's a good question. Won't be for probably about another 10 years, but hopefully by then we'll all be living in like an island somewhere.
You know, of course he has a backup back there. Mm-hmm. And I assume it's basically the same specs and everything. Does he use the exact same settings on that, or does he go through by ear and just set it by ear? Because obviously there are probably some resistors that are different values or different tolerances or different materials or something in the other head.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes by ear with him. I mean, we have a basic general setting that we start off things with, and usually before tours when we're doing rehearsals, we'll actually go through the amps one by one, and you know, I make take notes of, you know, what he's liking, you know, in terms of each amp. You know, A, B, C, D amps is basically how we, you know, list them. So, and of course, this is the A amp in the front. Has you know, a couple of his favorite idols, yeah. Eddie Cochran on the left side here, and Gene Vincent on the other side over here on the right. There's you know, both his like, you know, favorite guys of all time. And
now, what about the speakers in these cabs?
They're actually, I think they're Celestion 30 watts that are in here, greenback, but they're old, they're vintage 30s, so they're not the new stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was, I think there's a couple too that actually had the Jensen speakers in them too at one point in time. I don't know if those were original or not either. I don't know what really actually came stocked in these when they came out. Something I should do some research on, I guess.
Earlier, before we had the camera rolling, you were saying that Brian has about 20 or 22 space echoes, which we'll talk about in a second. Is that about right?
Yeah, in terms of the ones, we try to keep them, you know, coming in since they're so old, you know. The RE301 came out in 1977, so, you know, he was buying them up, you know, mid-80s and stuff, trying to get them. He's got a few pretty new ones at his house, too, but we have a bunch in the warehouse that are just basically for parts, and we carry about six with us on the road to, you know, just in case type things. So, but I've been having, you know, good luck with this one right here. So
look like they're in immaculate condition. Mm-hmm. But back on the amps, just for one more second, do you know roughly how many Bassman heads and 212 cabs he has in his collection?
Well, I know of eight, but I'm sure that there's, you know, he's probably got ones that haven't even seen road use or something at the house and stuff, you know. And he's a guitar collector too and yeah. stuff. So he has a lot of cool stuff that he's found, and he's always looking all the time, always searching for more echoes. Or you know, we found this German echo when we were in Berlin last year, and he bought that up too. I forget what the brand was at this point in time, but pretty sweet, you know, like one of the first German units, you know. So it's always buying things.
As far as settings on the Space Echo, mm-hmm. does it stay pretty much the same, or does he fiddle with it during the show? Or
yeah, there's pretty much stays the same for most of it, but you know, once in a while there'll be uses, you know, some chorus and a couple tunes, or you know, more reverb, less reverb type thing. But for the most part, it just it stays the same. He just, you know, if he feels that he's not getting enough of something, he'll go over and play with it and stuff. And
is there a specific year he shoots for when he's looking for space echoes on the market?
I don't think so. I think if they're, you know, they're in good condition and working. So, I mean, if you're looking from what 1977 to what 86 was when they stopped making them. I forget the year. Do you know the year they stopped making them? Somewhere around there. 77, I know, is when they came out with the 301. But yeah, I don't think there's any particular you know, year that he's actually like is better than another year, you know. So
okay, can we talk about the mics that you've got on the cabs here a little bit?
Yeah, our house guy, front of house guy Jimbo knows a lot more about them than I do, but I think they're
like a Mojave, large diaphragm,
yeah,
the Royer,
and there's a Royer and the Royer mics, yeah, which Jimbo has a thing going with. So we got a bunch of Royer mics out here, and
like a ribbon, a 121 or something.
Yeah, I think that's. I think you're right about that. That's what it is.
Is Brian pretty particular about the cables he uses, instrument cables or the patch cables going from his Space Echo to his amps? Or?
Not really particular. As long as they work and they're, you know, the amp doesn't die, that's the main thing. But you know, I make a lot of the cables too for him. A lot of stuff I use cable. I use is of course Belden cable. I find to be the best that I like the most. And
why do you like that the best?
It's heavy duty. It's nice. It's strong. You can step on it 1,000 times and doesn't crack and break, you know, so.
Is it mostly about the durability, or is it also, like, do you care about the capacitance issues or anything?
There isn't really too much capacitance issues. And when you start losing that is when, you know, you're making cables that are 50, 60 feet long and stuff like that. But, you know, basically I keep them as standards, like, you know, 30-footers and between 30, 35. I mean, I have a couple actual 50s for, you know, big, giant, you know, casino stages that they, you know, do, you know, plays and stuff in and that type of stuff, but Broadway stuff. But mainly, yeah, we have a silent pin on one side. That's, you know, that's a must to, you know.
So that when he unplugs, it doesn't.
It's not popping, and that's about it really with the cables. A double Gretsch hot rod pick. You know, our Torque colors are green and black, and so we have green and black picks. For the tour,
they're mediums.
It's like a standard medium, celluloid fender mediums. Yep. Some red ones.
Tyler, thanks so much for showing us this stuff. Yep. It's been really cool, and good luck on the road.
Great, thank you very much.
Yeah. Cool. I'm Sean Hammond. Thanks for watching PremierGuitar.com.